Psalm 5, this is dedicated to the chief musician in the temple. It was to be with flutes, and it is a psalm of David. Spirit working in his heart moved David to write, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." You will remember back in Genesis chapter 1, when God moved Moses to write down what happened at creation, that at the end of each day of creation, 1 through 5, at the end of the day, 1 through 6, I guess, at the end of the day, we read that there was evening and there was morning and there was this day. It tended to be that the Hebrew people thought of a day as beginning at nightfall and going to the next night. Not always was it that way, but generally it was that way. The Holy Spirit, friends, moved the compiler of the book of Psalms, as well as the individual writers of different psalms. We have the particular psalms that we do because the Spirit moved whoever it was. We don't know if it were an individual, or we might say a committee, or what, that put together the book of Psalms. We do know that there are some of these psalms that are found elsewhere in Scripture, and that there are other poetic works and songs in other parts of the Scripture, but that were for temporary use, sung use anyway. Only what's in the book of Psalms is supposed to be here. Not only that, the particular order is moved by the Spirit of God. They're not just in here randomly. Now, it may be that there's little connection directly between, say, Psalm 6 and 7, but there is a reason that God put them together. Sometimes it's more obvious. Evening is what we end Psalm 4 with. Morning is what we begin Psalm 5 with. There is something appropriate for the praise of God in any and every time of day. And our prayer and our praise is appropriate and really demanded any time of day. We see the Apostle Paul teaching the people in Thessalonica in his earliest of letters in 1 Thessalonians and teaching all the church of Jesus Christ that we are to pray without ceasing. This is one of a number of these different things in a quick little, we might almost call it, bullet list that Paul has of duties, of things to do for these new believers in Thessalonica in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. And for all of them, he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right, so we have this morning prayer. And what does it concern itself with? With the wicked and with the godly. And the way that God treats either one. I want us to see here that David, by the work of the Spirit, sees God's holiness and goodness, his purity. He sees that, and it's a glorious thing. And it's in contrast with the wickedness of men. I want you to note in verses 4 through 6, the wicked heart that God hates. We sometimes hear, God hates the sin but loves the sinner. On one level, that is true. That is out of a love of goodness, a love of kindness, God extends the gospel to everyone. That is, all are told to come, and all are told that they will be saved by Jesus Christ if they come to God through him and repent of their sin. That promise is for all. It is made to sinners, not merely the elect. Sinners are told, come to Jesus Christ. Come know the love of God. But the fact is that those who remain in their sin are abiding under the wrath of God. It is not that God is merely upset with and hating their sin. He hates them because they are sinners. And it is from their sinful, depraved, fallen hearts that sins occur. And so we read in verses 4 through 6, you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. Okay, there he's hating sin, see? Nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful, now that's talking about people. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity, not merely the iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. That is, these liars shall be destroyed, not merely their lies. The Lord, Jehovah, abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man, not his sins. Though they be murderous and dishonest. But this is not the case for all people. No, God kindly, graciously saves sinners. With a new heart, David goes on to say, but as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. It's not because he is such a great guy. It's not that he is a paragon of virtue, someone who is high in his holiness, someone who is righteous of himself. He only comes in by mercy. For he deserves what these other sinners do. And he must cry out for God's mercy there in verse 8. Lead me, Jehovah, in your righteousness, not mine. He must depend upon a righteousness outside of himself. A righteousness attained for him by someone else. One who would come. One who would live the perfect life that David wishes that he has had. Who would live the perfect life that David needs in order to be right with God. And then, while perfectly righteous, would die as a sinner, would die for the sinner, would take away God's wrath and curse, and would make his people, including David, to be righteous in the sight of God, to be forgiven in the sight of God, to be accepted in the sight of God, to be made children in the sight of God. This is the grace of God, and it through that someone whom we know now as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, looking back at the wicked who will not come to Christ, who will to persevere in their sin, there's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. This verse is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, when he is talking about how everyone's heart is depraved, dead, and destructed. Destructed? I just made up a word. Destroyed. Destroyed morally. That's in that section where he begins quoting from. It's either Psalm 14 or Psalm 53. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who seeks after God. And Paul then goes on with several quotes from several portions of Scripture, and one of them is right here in Psalm 5. And so David, being godly, calls upon God to judge them. And he calls upon God to take their supposed wisdom and destroy them by it, showing them to be fools. But then he says, remember the godly. Let all those who put their trust in you ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let them also who love your name be joyful in you. That is the portion we have, and it's interesting how, in a way, Psalm 5 kind of goes along with our sermon today as well. For you, Jehovah, will bless the righteous. With favor you shall round him, you will surround him as with a shield. That shield comes up again in Psalm 84. Look thou, O God, upon our shield, the face of thy Christ. Now we have in our English version as thy anointed. In the Hebrew it is your Messiah. In the Greek version it is your Christ. Look, God, upon your shield, the face of your Christ, see. This goes right along with Paul teaching in Ephesians 1:6 that we are accepted in the beloved. So it is through Jesus that we have deliverance. For all that is spoken of here about the ungodly, that is what we deserve. It is only by mercy. It is only by a gracious righteousness given to us through an all-sufficient Savior. That is the only way that we have acceptance. And that is the only way that we have a dawn from the darkness of sin and the darkness of depravity. We have a dawning light. Because he who is the light of the world has risen upon us and given us eyes to see.